Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Fusaw.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife.
Hey, ghosties.
Hello.
And today we have a third ghostie with us.
That's Ms. right.
Lauren Miners. Hey.
Hello. So excited to be here.
So Yay. Before Lauren joined, I asked, you know, do you want this to be a formal interview? Do you want me to read your bio? Or would you prefer if I just tell you what my first impression of you was when I met you 3 years ago? And we're going to go with that option.
I don't even know this story. Do tell.
Amazing.
Do tell.
I don't think I've shared it, but I don't think so. I first met Lauren, I believe it was 3 years ago at the annual conference for Chiprooms. And we were both speaking at it. You were already on the board. I literally got asked if I would be on the board one day and was sworn in the next day. Had no idea this is how it worked. And I remember quickly being introduced to you, watching you speak, and just thinking, this woman is a badass. I'm totally intimidated. I don't have my life together, and I really need to impress her. I was so, you're so put together. Now, fast forward 3 years, and I think I
text
you.
What do you think now?
Now you know better. No. Now you're the woman, I like text you multiple times a week just for sanity checks. And it's just so funny. And I want you to know, Lauren, you're a badass, ma'am. You're a badass.
Thank you, Danielle. That is extremely flattering. I would cop to being bad and an ass, but I'm not sure that I could put those two things together. But I remember that Chiprooms. I think that you were sitting at our table at the Wally's, and it was like, it was all of the usual suspects behaving the way that we do. And I was like, she's either going to love us or hate us. I don't know.
And I loved it. I loved it.
Well, I'm grateful for our friendship and with Eva, and just so excited to be here and chatting with you guys today. This is a dream.
Yes. So your day job, you are the director of partnerships and marketing at Reason One. Do you want to give a little information about what that entails?
Yeah, sure. So there's a reason that my title has partnerships before marketing. And that is because mainly the big part of what I do is creating community around our brand. So I manage all of our partnership relationships with both the platforms that we work with, all the technology, but also other agencies that do things that we don't do. So we are simply, we're web development. We don't do any marketing campaigns. We don't do branding. We don't do true content the way that a lot of other agencies would define that. So it's in our best interest to have as many friends as we can, because it creates a better experience for our clients to get three real experts rather than one AOR that kind of does a little bit of everything. And also, I just want to know everybody. I call myself a professional busybody. And I just want to make friends. And so this gives me an excuse to like make all of the friends. But that's like, I would say that strategy of having partners is really integral to how we win new business.
And that's a huge reason why we wanted to have you on the podcast, because we wanted to talk about why partnerships are so important to solopreneurs and freelancers. But first, maybe more importantly, you do a little tarot card reading on the side.
We're going to start it?
I thought we would start that way.
Okay.
Well, I want to make sure we get to it, because as you mentioned during sound check, we are yappers, and I feel like we might not get to it.
Well, that's what the last 5 minutes was going to be, but it's cool. We can go first.
Okay.
We can put it. It's fine. It's fine. Let's look.
Whatever feels right, Lauren.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's get through the interview and let's do okay. it last, because that might
perfect.
That might yeah. make us think.
I like to wrap mm-hmm. it up, and we'll talk about your zodiac too. We said we would do that with all of our guests, and then we did it with two, but not one. So
we've only missed one. I think we're doing great.
We're doing great, but if I mention it here and you know about zodiac things, so. I can tell you about the beach trip I just took with 2 8-year-olds, once a Scorpio and once a Taurus. It was a lot. There was a lot happening.
How yeah. different.
Uh-huh. But they're best friends. It's of great. Yeah. I'm tired.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So, Lauren, I want to get into why, just the first question, in your opinion, why are partnerships crucial for solopreneurs?
Okay, so I would say three things probably. First of all, you have to, I don't like calling it a network. I feel like it's more of an ecosystem. Because when you, like, if you've ever seen, there's like this picture on the internet of like this old guy who like built a terrarium and like fed it once, and it's been like self-sustaining for like 30 years. It's bananas. But every time I see that image, it's like, that's what partnerships is. That's what your community is. So it's a way to grow your bottom line. It's a way to grow your pipeline. Having other folks that you regularly communicate with, that you work with, that do things that aren't quite exactly in your lane that you can lean on. Mm-hmm. It's a referral source at its simplest. But also kind of what I mentioned too, if somebody gets an opportunity that's like, okay, this is in my wheelhouse. And also, wouldn't it be a whole lot cooler if I also brought in this other aspect, and you can create better work for a client that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. The third thing is your sanity. Danielle, you mentioned it at the top that like we text each other just for sanity checks. And I like the group texts that I have with like my business partners are some of the most hilarious things. And we're all just trying to keep each other on the rails. You know, like you learn the tea, like you learn what's happening in other organizations that might behoove you to know so that you can make moves. It's that whole sense of it takes a village. And that, like, I would say for a solopreneur especially, you have to know those people. And also, you never know if you have a client that you're working with, let's say, on a design project, and they happen to mention, you know, like, oh, we really, like, our team really needs some training and all this kind of stuff. And you have a partner that you work with, or someone in your network that's like a facilitator to like an EOS facilitator or something like that, you can bring them in, make that connection, and now you have gained even more value to your client because, hey, look, Danielle, Eva, whoever can bring more than just their discipline to mm-hmm. this table. You are building a table unto yourself.
I love that. And mm-hmm. I need to know, Lauren, how many conferences do you attend every year?
So, 7 or, oh.
I feel know. Like you are always on a plane.
It's less than 10. It's less than 10. And I know people who like do this way more mm-hmm. than I do. And I don't understand them. I think that they sleep upside down or in a coffin or something. I don't understand
it. I'm convinced of it. It's wild.
But yeah, I do joke that like I'm like Ken. My job is conference.
It's not a bad thing though. You get to see lots of places and you get to like hang out with people and. Not network. Am I still allowed to say network since you don't like the word network?
No. Like network is fine. No, network is fine. And I love that. I love meeting new people. am just kind of addicted to it. You might think I'm crazy, but I love hanging out in airports because same. I like to meet strangers. And
oh, not
there
the same.
Are people.
No, that's not why Danielle likes it. She still gives me flack for making three friends at the airport, what? Like,
yeah,
like bar when I was delayed 3 years ago.
So, Eva, that's exactly the thing. Like, there are people that I have met in Hartsfield that I still follow on Instagram, and I'm like, oh,
same.
They had a baby.
Same. I met mine at Charlotte Douglas. Yeah. Always got to meet them at a hub.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's exactly it. So, yes, I love traveling because it totally feeds that, like, extrovert need and curiosity and, ooh, what are you all about? Tell me. Because I think humans are fascinating. Humans are fascinating.
See, I'm the one in the airport trying not to make contact with the extroverts because I know that I can sense it, man. I'm like, oh, my God, they want to talk to me right now. Yeah. And I'm not going to look at them. Yeah.
We do.
Oh, man.
We want to yap.
All the time. All the time. All the time. I was on a plane recently, and I could tell the woman next to me was a yapper because game recognizes game. And I had so much work to do. I was going to be in the air for like almost 2 hours. And I had so much work to do that like the minute I got on that plane, I pulled out my laptop and was just like cranking all this stuff out. And then when we landed, she goes, did you get it all done? I was like, what? And she goes, you looked really intense like the whole time. Like, I'm guessing you type 90 words a minute. Like, I'm impressed. Like, did you get it all done? That you can't possibly have anything else left to do.
But did you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've always got stuff to do. Of course.
I love it. You know, and the interesting thing with some boards, and I feel like you two would recognize this, is I never know starting off, like, if it's going to be a good match or not. So when I get started, and then sometimes I question it, like, do I really want to take this on right now? And what amazes me is sometimes those connections come from places that, like, the not obvious place. Like, for instance, when I first joined Chiprums, you know, it's healthcare focused. Right. And so I joined at an interesting time because I was at an agency, and when I was at the agency, it made a lot of sense. And then I knew I was going to switch to being a solopreneur. And then I was like, is this going to benefit me as much as it would when I was on the agency side, when we had big healthcare clients? And now I'm at a place, I'm like, there's so many like hoops that you have to jump through in order to work with some of these vendors. And is it really going to benefit me? But then when I'm finding, Lauren, it's kind of what you're talking about. It's just the connections that I'm making, because a lot of what happens now is now I'm getting referred to people through Chiprums that they're like, hey, you need a freelancer, talk to this person. And it's been amazing, truly, the amount of referrals that I've got. I'm like, that alone's almost been worth it. So it might not be like exactly what you're thinking it's going to be, but as long as you're continuing to build that community around you and building your ecosystem, is that what you called it? I believe.
Yeah.
It's amazing the benefit that will come from that.
Yeah, that's such a good point to make too, because it's like, I think when anybody, if you are a solopreneur, if you're a small shop, if you're trying to get into a new market, whatever, like you think, okay, I'm going to make a run at this and we'll see where we are in 6 months. And it's a long game. This is a long game because it takes a while to build trust, to know who people are like in the world that you're kind of operating in, and understanding really what they want and what their needs are. And especially for a solopreneur like that, is like, you know, aligning with other agencies, because we have to scale. Like we have a finite amount of resources, and then like some stuff will hit our desk and it's like, man, we have to bring in some more horsepower here. But it's not enough that like it would take too long for us to hire. Like, we have to have those people at the ready. But you're right. And also, like, people move around. Like you just said, like, you were at an agency. Now you're on your own. You now have your own ecosystem that was different than when you were agency side. And that, like, this stuff changes. It's, you know, what is it? Like, every 7 years you have a new, like, friend group, or, like, they call it the Camelot effect. Like,
the what?
The more people you know.
What is that?
We need to go back to that.
What?
Yeah.
You talk about
have
that.
Have you not
what
heard
is
of
that?
This?
No.
No.
Okay. So, like, think back to, like, a time in, like, high school or college when you had, like, the friend group. Okay. Like, it was always your, like, pack of gals or whatever. And it's like, these are the perfect people to be surrounded with. And it felt like Camelot. And then it dissolves. And then you get a new Camelot. And you can kind of track this through your life.
Yeah.
That it turns over and over. So
it's so interesting. You know, and I instantly think back to, like, my wedding, because when
picking bridesmaids is a whole thing, right? And
but to your point, the Camelot theory, I remember specifically I picked a friend from each phase of my life, because I picked,
there you go,
my childhood high school friend, my sister, obviously, that's the one consistency, right? I picked one that I got really close with in college, and then one that was my post-college life, right? And so I'm like, I'm leaving it at that, because this person represented me in this phase of my life. So it's, man, that really hit home for me. I didn't know there was a name for this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it comes, I think it comes from some kind of, like, Kennedy related thing, but I know, that's a real
one?
Thing. And
no.
So you,
which,
it's relevant.
Which one?
Which one? But that holds true in business too. So, like, you know, we can take Chipram's, for example. It's the group that is in it now is going to be different. It's going to be a different dynamic in 3, 4, 5 years. It'll be a different Camelot.
I think that's always interesting with boards too. Like, the Camelot theory, like, that 7 year thing is interesting. For those of y'all not watching, I made, like, the dog head turn the entire time trying to calculate if the 7 years work for me, because the only phone calls I've made today are to people that I've known for 22 years or 23 years. So I'm like, is it? But then, like, I think some of that's true. But then I think about it in the terms of boards, because I've been on the Chipram's board and I've been on the AAF board. But Chipram's was the first business trip I went on in 2006. I just started my first job, like, I don't know, 3 months earlier. And so I've watched this organization roll through a lot of, like, old guard to new guard. I think the 7 year thing does feel about right for board trends. Like, there's something about maybe 5-ish, but, like, that kind of handoff between, like, this group did it this way, and then this group did it this way, and then this group did it this way. I think there is some weird board truth to that.
There is. 'Cause I was thinking about the same thing, because, like, when I started with AAF, and I tell this with people who were going through AAF at the same time as me, I was like, I went back one time and it felt so different. And it wasn't different in a bad way. It's just that wasn't my Camelot, right? So I remembered it from, I wanted to go back and it was going to be how I remembered it, and it wasn't. And so I think you just kind of, you move on.
Yeah. And yeah. I want to get into, I mean, like, we've mentioned boards a few times here, and, like, I'm just thinking, like, for a solopreneur, that would be, if you're trying to build your community, if you're trying to build your table and build your ecosystem, like, getting involved, just get involved. Just, you know, I mean, I got involved with Chipram's because I offered to tote some coolers after the hospitality suite.
Okay? I carried a watermelon.
Hall coolers. Right, exactly. So do that. Because that's like, it's an instant way to gain trust and also really get to know people very quickly. You know, like I feel like sometimes this whole idea of building community, like it's, I struggle with that term, with that idea a lot, even though I inherently know that's what I'm doing. It feels like building something from scratch, but you're not really, like you're part of that connective tissue and strengthening what's already existing. Like you're adding your energy to energy that's already in motion.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love that.
I also encourage people to do committee work before they do board work, not just because I've been many boards. And like I'm the queen. I've got like eldest daughter syndrome and I never want to offload anything. And so like, please come save me from myself by being on my committee. That's not the only reason why I say it. I say it because it lets you dip your toes in and see if that board is a good fit for you. I can't help but go to an event and feel like I can do it better. So I love to join a board, but I'm just being honest. But I was on 4 at one time and I burned myself out so fast
because
it was too much. And so then I had to kind of decide like which one I need, like which ones like really brought value to me, not only professionally, but personally. Right. And so then I had to resign from one like midterm because the term was like 3 or 4 years and I felt bad and it was fine. But like, I really wish I'd done some committee work for some of these other organizations first to see if the commitment was what I wanted it to be.
Absolutely.
That's such a good point. And Eva, I think you and I suffer from the same sickness of like going to an event and being like, oh, but this
was
be
great.
Better.
But can I have notes?
Who can I speak to?
You did awesome, sweetie, but could you move? Here, I'll just do it.
great start. No, it's, I'm on 2 right now and then decided for extra fun to start my own organization from scratch.
Oh, like you do. Why not?
Because why not? Because it didn't exist. Well, I guess I'll just make it, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of the other thing is like for anybody, if you're looking around and you're going, I wish that this existed.
Right. Right.
It can. Right. You can make it. You just do it. And I know that sounds simplistic, but you know, nature hates a vacuum. And if you want to see the thing happen, it may as well be your thing.
You are saying so many things that I need to go back to. Say that again. Nature hates a vacuum. And I assume you're not talking about a Dyson. Talk to me about nature hates
nature
a vacuum.
Nature also hates a Dyson, but like, I mean, okay.
Leave no trace, man. unpack that a little bit more and how it aligns with like your business philosophy. Yeah.
Yeah. So consider an abandoned building. How quickly does it take for kudzu to just like, to take over, right? So if there's a gap there, something will fill it. It might not be what you want. So if you're looking around whatever community you're in, and you're like, I wish there was this, there can be that. You can make that. But if you wait, something else might take its place. And it might not be what you want. It might be kudzu and not like
no one wants
pretty
that.
Flowers or whatever you have imagined. And also, like, here's the thing also for solopreneurs and you guys, y'all do a lot of public speaking all over the country. Like, you want to talk about someone who's badasses, it's Danielle and Eva, because they travel all over and they're like, listen to how we have started our business and we have this amazing podcast and all of this kind of stuff. But like, for a solopreneur who's like, how do I do this? Y'all are creating flowers instead of kudzu, because you're showing up in spaces and you're providing this like really positive mentorship while also defining your brand. So it's like, I mean, y'all can do all of the marketing that you want, but it's that is putting you, it's the putting yourself out there that is shaping how people see you. It's going to shape how work comes to you. It's that whole connection over clicks. Like, where does your business come from?
You want to start, Danielle, or do you want me to start?
No.
But I mean, like, does it come from your website?
Yeah. So, I can talk about that. And then I'd like to talk a little bit more about the speaking stuff, too. Well, first off, thank you for those incredibly kind words. That really, like, means a lot. But
it's true.
And I've said this before in other contexts, and I actually thought about it yesterday. People like working with people they like.
Yep.
People will send work to somebody that they just vibe or click with, or who is just cool to interact with, over somebody else, even if that other person is more expensive or like has like a tougher timeline to work with or whatever. Exactly. I will jump through hoops to work with somebody that I really want to work with. And, you know, I hope people feel the same way about me, but, my work, 1 year, 85% of my work came from my board service. 70% was from AAF. Another 15% was from Chiprums. A lot of my work now, most of it comes from somebody I've already worked with. Like somebody I've, it is so rare that I get a cold call. If I do get a cold call, they didn't just find me. They're cold to me because they're three people removed, right? Like somebody gave them my name because somebody worked with me two people down the line. I had a friend of mine who's in like a much more like public facing business. He's in like the bartending service. And so he has like, you know, like big is on Google reviews and all that kind of stuff, because that's a lot for him, because people just Google like, I need somebody to, you know, set up at my wedding or whatever. And so we were comparing notes one day and I was like, I don't want to do that. I just don't know that I want the general public, unless you're listening right now, in which case I'll talk to you. If you listen to the podcast, I'll talk to you. That's fine. But I don't love a cold email, because I'm just like, like, what's happening? Yeah. Like, do you know what you're doing? I know what I'm doing. Do you know what you're doing? I could not tell you the last time I worked with somebody that I have no idea how they found me. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, usually. Exactly.
Honestly, thinking about it, I don't know my percentages, but truly all of them have been either board service or I've worked with them before in some capacity. Yeah. And then I have some referrals, and the referrals that work out well are usually like a closer connection. Like it seems like it's definitely going to work out. The ones like that maybe it's not the right fit, or maybe farther apart in connections. But I really, thinking about it, I don't think I've had very few. I've had a couple people who will find my website. They'll reuse the form. We set up meetings. Yeah. That's very few. Most of them are all connections that have already built.
Right. Yeah. Y'all just proved my point, is that putting yourself out there and making sure that you are in whatever community you thrive in is going to bring you the business that you actually want. And we can talk shit about AI. Eva, I know you have strong opinions.
I got one more note, and then we can come to AI. I got one more note about partnerships and ecosystems, and then you and I can unpack all of AI right here and right now. But you finish. I have one thing, and then we'll go.
No, I was just gonna say, like, so many people are, you know, clutching their pearls about what AI is going to do to marketing. And I'm like, let it. Because guess what? I am not out here trying to chase clicks.
No.
I beat myself up for not being a good enough marketer based on, you know, whatever stupid criteria I was holding myself to. But now AI has let me just be like, okay, I don't care anymore because everyone else can get into this freaking knife fight. But what I know is that just like both of you, even for an agency, but just like you guys, 80% of our work has come directly from people that we know or direct, like we meet them. The two projects I can point to that came from traditional marketing weren't even traditional marketing. It came because we did a webinar. So that's even, that's more like community, it's partnership. And while I'm thinking about it, partnerships doesn't necessarily just mean partnerships with other agencies that do something different or like a tech or whatever. I extend that to mean being a really good partner with the organizations where you're sponsoring and speaking and that kind of stuff, like really getting to know the people that run those things because they make the decisions about who's on the stage.
Yeah.
100%.
I think the speaking stuff like is really important to talk about too. I have 2 points on this. So I judge for the American Advertising Awards and so does Danielle. And so I judged for an AAF chapter in Louisiana, in AAF Baton Rouge last year. And then they saw me at the national conference and asked me if I would come speak this year. And I said, yes. And then I said, what do y'all want me to speak on? And they said, anything you want. And I said, careful when you say that to me, because I have been wanting to do this presentation for a very long time about like Indigenous representation and like common phrases we use that are inappropriate and like proper ways to like show us in advertising. And we got to talk about mascots and stop wearing a headdress. And like, I've always wanted to do this. And the kind of beginning of that was somebody said something about being the low man on the totem pole at a conference once. And I waited a couple days to politely say to him when I'm holding a Bud Light wearing cutoff shorts in Clayton, Georgia in the woods.
And he was dressed as Guy Fieri.
He was dressed as Guy Fieri. It's a true story. True story.
It was a vibe.
It was great. And I just wanted to point out, I was like, it's not offensive. It's just inaccurate. Right. And so then it led to a larger conversation. And then so when AAF Baton Rouge was like, hey, do you want to come speak? I was like, yeah. And so I did this presentation and I did it a couple weeks ago and I was really proud of it. And it was great. But my point with this story, other than stop saying low man on the totem pole, guys, is that I judged and then that led to a speaking engagement. And then that speaking engagement may lead to work and it may not. If all that happens out of that room is somebody stops saying, going off the reservation, or if they think about when they do Indigenous representation, we don't always have to be shown on a reservation. That's fine. I don't necessarily have to get any direct line out of it. It still does a lot of work within the space. So that was the first point I wanted to make. But the second point I wanted to make, because your comment about like partnerships with like sponsoring and speaking events, I will never forget that I was on, I'm going to try to keep this vague because I don't want to call them out, but I was part of an organization that organized a conference and the speaker was somebody local and he had the last slot of the day and he showed up in like sweatpants and like a baseball hat. And was like holding like, I'm sure there was just water in that cup, but it looked a little bit like a solo cup. I'm sure it's water, but he's just up there just like real casual about it. And I was just like, you don't seem like you care. You don't seem like you prepared for this at all. I don't care if there's 6 people in that room, like put your deck together, put on some real clothes. I'm the queen of like, I don't ever want to put on pants. I did not put on pants in Baton Rouge, but I put on a nice dress and that counts. But like, take every interaction seriously because like I walked out of that room and I was like, I will never call that person for anything ever. because yeah. how he treated this thing. So I think those touch points, sponsorships, speaking, any of that stuff, like take every engagement seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, yeah. I want to give credit to organizations like Baton Rouge that reach out to professionals and say, talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. that opens a door because I know cool. you've been wanting to do that presentation for a while and you just need a reason. It was yeah. Baton Rouge that yeah. reached out and made that Ghost Boss presentation happen because I said, actually, I have an idea
yeah.
that I have never done, but yeah. this seems like the right audience. And they, yeah. I credit them for making me sit down and actually putting it together.
Same.
But
same.
More,
same.
More and, of that, please. That like, yeah, my, yeah, I get the yeah. goosebumps as a creative.
Yeah, yeah. Also, they're great. Incredible hospitality. They were so welcoming and warming. Like, you know. Like, I just, and also, like, I mean, Baton Rouge is a fellow SEC school because I graduated from the University of South Carolina here in Columbia. So I opened with a joke about that, about how being a Gamecock has built a lot of character in me because I'm used to losing all the time. And if, yeah, it's fine. And, but here's the deal. Like, if I'm going to lose the game, I'm going to win the tailgate. And the only team that gives me a run for my money are LSU fans. I swear to God.
Fair. Oh, fair. This is true. We hosted LSU at home the first game at Clemson this year. Yeah. You know how that
they don't
went,
play, girl.
No, they don't. And it was the first game that we're selling alcohol in the stadium too. And I remember just thinking it was just like, pumpkin. Wow, this is going to be
oh, man.
Epic.
Something.
And
it's gonna be something.
It was experience. But like what y'all both said about like conference organizers and building, it's building your brand and showing up. And it doesn't have to be like your presentations, what you go out there and talk about does not have to be a case study.
No.
Mm-mm. Everyone's right. kind of sick of case
Actually,
studies.
Like, please don't. Like, please I don't want to go. Yeah, please don't.
People hate when it's a sales pitch. Like, they that's hate
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, yeah. it's boring. And even if it's something that they can't just like, oh, this is something I can take back to my office. Like the presentation you were talking about, Eva, is like, mm-hmm. okay, if I just stop using microaggressions because right. I now am aware of that.
Yeah.
And the bigger thing, like, yes, that should absolutely be the point. But the bigger thing is they left going, and now I know who Eva is and what she's all about.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Right. That's right.
And
that's
she's right. not wearing sweatpants and drinking out of a solo cup.
I was not wearing sweatpants.
She's
and
a
I also told them.
The
yeah,
audacity.
I was a grown up. But yeah, and I also told them, I was like, you know, a lot of times, and we could do like a whole other episode on like diversity and diversity, not only in like ethnic and racial background, but like gender diversity, disability diversity, all that kind of stuff, because you end up seeing all of these things in advertising that like somebody sees it and it's like, how did that get approved? And it's because there weren't enough people at the table that looked different from each other. And yeah. so like I said to them, I was like, if you're ever working on something that like talks about Indigenous people or Indigenous voices, get an Indigenous person in the room. And if you don't know an Indigenous person, you do now. And I don't live in Louisiana. I don't know what your tribes do, but I can help you get connected to somebody who can do that. And I think Danielle fusses at me if I get too specific on this, because we don't want to like make anybody mad on this podcast. But when we're not recording, I can give you my top five list of like,
depends.
How did
is.
That get approved? How did that get approved? So anyways,
yeah.
I'll let her test it for me first.
The flip side of that is like, I love to see, and like our agency is very much into accessibility, and it's yeah. like, that's part of, that's deeply part of our DNA. And one of my favorite things on all of these travels that I go on is walking down a Delta jetway. And if you have been in a Delta jetway recently, you have seen some very inclusive graphics in that hallway. My favorite is a woman that has, she's a paraplegic and that she's hiking.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me smile every single time. Because I'm like, Delta, yeah. you got it right. You yeah. are seeing the totality of your community. And that doesn't have anything to do with partnerships. It's just something that makes me
yes,
smile.
Yes, but no, but it does. It does, because it's extending partnerships to communities that were not previously represented. It absolutely
and bringing
has
them
connections
in.
To partnerships. Yeah, for
and
sure.
bringing them
for
in.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So as I predicted, we are all the mayors of Yap Town. It's, you know, it was a three-way tie when they voted. And so we're getting a little long on the timestamp, and we have not talked about AI yet. And I have a feeling that Lauren and I are going to argue and it's going to be fine. But I don't think we can wrap it up in the next few minutes. And we promised tarot cards. So I motion that we bring Lauren back for another episode on AI.
Absolutely.
And maybe some ADA stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a real sexy episode about robots and how to not offend people. It's going to be amazing, guys.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. So we'll bring Lauren back for sure. But as promised... She's got her cards. I don't know if you can hear it. I can hear it.
I hope we can hear that
tarot.
Shuffling.
And also, yes. Lauren, before we start, what is your sign and what's your big three? I'm sure you know them.
All right. My big three. I am Sagittarius sun, but I am on the cusp of Scorpio, if that makes a difference
Ooh,
to anybody.
That explains a lot.
It does. I'm a fun mix of both. So that's my sun, Cancer moon. So I'm a crier. Do not hit me with a Publix commercial. I will lose my shit. Cap rising. That's
okay.
my big three.
Okay, nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice little trio there. You're well
it
balanced.
Is. I would like to think so, but you know, the beta blockers in the bathroom would beg to differ.
Well, something's got to help balance it more.
Something's got to balance out that Cancer.
I have a Capricorn moon. It's the only earth sign in my entire chart. Everything else is fire and water. And she is holding on for her dear life up there. She is desperately trying to get me to not say everything I'm thinking all the time.
Oh, my God. Danielle, what are you?
I am an Aries sun, Leo rising, which is, I am convinced people think I'm an extrovert. And I saw the eyes get large there, Lauren. I saw that. Here's what
it's
balances.
It's double fire. So here, sad.
Oh, it is. And here's what balances it. I'm a Taurus moon.
Aww.
I
love
cozy.
That for you.
I like rage hard and then I chill out.
Also, when you said you have Leo in there too, I was like, oh, that's why all of our text messages are the way they are.
Yeah,
because it's just us screaming at each other
and
about something
not
else.
At each other, just into the void.
right. We're screaming to each other about.
I mean, that's all the texts
the
I want. I just want someone to scream back with me and agree with me because they need to know I'm going to get over it in 5 minutes as long as you let me yell.
See,
yes.
I'm not.
Yes.
I have so my moon is in Capricorn, but my rising is Sagittarius and my sun sign is Pisces. So when I'm mad for the rest of my life. I will let this go when somebody's in the ground. I'm not. Oh. It's going to be you first. That's not a threat. It's a promise. I don't let go. And I have so many fire signs in my life that like y'all get real like fussy and then you come right back down. And I'm like,
we're done.
What's it like to come down? Because I don't know.
And then we're like, why are you still mad?
Yeah. Oh, I'm mad about stuff.
This.
Yeah, I'm mad about stuff that happened
30 minutes ago.
Girl, I'm mad about stuff that happened in 2008. I'm not even kidding. I'm mad about stuff in first grade.
But also, this is you mentioned earlier that like most of the people that you talk to today have been in your life for over 20 years. So that's probably there's something going on there, too.
Well, yeah, one of them's a Scorpio. So like... You know,
my best friend's a Scorpio.
Yeah, one of my best friends is a Scorpio. And then I have this random, most of my friends follow the same pattern. They are fellow waters or fire signs, and they're always youngest daughters because I'm an eldest daughter. And I think they let me be bossy. But then I have one outlier, my friend Ashley. She's an Aquarius and also an eldest daughter. I don't understand why we get along, but I talk to her like 4 times a day. I don't
Sometimes
know.
Sometimes it works.
It works. Yeah, so, all right, cards.
All right, let's
cards,
get into
cards,
it.
Cards.
Okay. So I was thinking about this, and just like, you know, when you go to couples counseling or whatever, like she's there to, she's doing counseling on the marriage, not on the, each person. So I was like, I want to do reading for the podcast, not for Eva and Danielle.
That's what I kind of wanted.
Oh, that's not what I want because I'm a Pisces, but I'll call you later and you can do my reading individually.
Yeah, okay. Call me later.
That's not what I want next episode.
What's a question you have about the podcast?
I don't know. I only have questions about me.
Well, let's go. Is this how successful is this podcast going to be? Are we going to keep going?
All right. So let's. What's the future of Ghost Boss? What is it looking like?
What or is it the Pisces going to get mad about something?
All right.
I already know this podcast is going to end with Eva never talking to me.
Because you'll just, if this ever ends, it's going to be something on my side. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm done.
I'm just going to be carefree. Like, I guess it's over.
You're like, okay. I'll be like, yes.
All right. What's
so this? I have here six of wands. Mm. Okay. So we were talking about fire signs. Wands is fire. There is a lot of motion. This is the Mystic Mondays deck, by the way. This is the one I usually pull for when I'm asking like work questions. So we have someone who is absolutely propelled. She is energetic. She is reaching for the sun. My read on this is keep it going, ladies. Like the sky's the limit.
Nice.
Okay. Okay.
So I need to not get mad.
I'm fine. Just don't get mad at me.
Okay. All right.
Is it that hard? No.
It's hard for me not to get mad at everybody. It's not personal.
I love it.
I just have a lot of attitude.
I feel like this group has a lot of spice in general. There's so like, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I just got a lot of notes. I don't know that everybody wants them. No.
They're going to get them anyway.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Well, this has been wonderful. We will absolutely have you back. And next I have main character syndrome. Next time I want a card about me, but that's okay. The fact that you did it for the podcast
next
is great.
Time. For sure.
Next time. The cards can be a recurring character. Totally fine with that. And this has been this has been so fun. Can I tell you, when I listen to y'all, it's so hard for me not to talk to you.
Back to us?
No, this is a recording.
The amount of times my sister calls me while she's listening and she's like, I've been yelling at my car. I need to just yell at you.
Yeah. 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 Dean drove off the road because of my rant about apps last
yes.
episode.
And in fact, we said we're putting a disclaimer in here because we told him Lauren's going to be on the podcast. So, Dean, I should have said earlier, you better not have been driving listening to this episode. We need you on the road, buddy.
Stay on the street. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again so much. We will definitely have you back.
Thank you. Yeah. Yay.
So,
yay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye. Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast and also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.